Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. These days, beer is undergoing a renaissance, specifically craft beer. Last night, for example, the Discovery Channel premiered a new show called Brewmasters about the Delaware craft beer Dogfish Head. Brewed in small batches by small companies is popular across the country. And here in Massachusetts, you can find local craft beers like Ipswich Ale or Pretty Things, which is brewed in Cambridge. One major player pushing for beer connoisseurship is Boston Beer Company, the brewer of Sam Adams. Depending on your point of view, Sam Adams beer is either the big small guy or the small big guy. Since Boston Beer Company got started in 1984, its roster of Sam Adams brews has expanded to more than two dozen. And beer isn't the only new thing on tap at Boston Beer. In the past couple of years, the company has started a micro-lending program to help out small entrepreneurs. In just a little bit, we'll be talking with Boston Beer's founder, Jim Cook, about that lending program. But first, we recently got a tour of Cook's Brewery in Jamaica Plain.
This is where we started. This is where Sam Adams began. It's 23 actually separate buildings. And when I first came here, it was quite different. It was abandoned. There were trees growing out of the facades. It was empty except for a squatter, a pornographic painter. So it's changed utterly in the last 26 years.
Now, your beer is pretty widespread in the country now. I assume that what we see here can't be where you brew everything.
No, this is where we started, but as you can see, when we started to grow, we couldn't really expand in this neighborhood. I mean, our neighbors are a church, a parish house, and, you know, it wasn't that easy to, like, contemplate the hostile takeover of Our Lady of Lourdes. This is the brew house where the brewing process begins. The brewing process is very, very simple. Here's how you make beer. You take barley, you grind it up, you put it in warm water to extract the sweet sugars out of it. You then boil those sugars in a kettle with hops, which is the spice of beer. You cool it down, you put yeast in it. A week later, it's a finished ale.
You bottle it, you serve it.
That's it. Lagers will take longer. Lagers, you'll age for a month or two.
What are these guys over here doing? They look like they're...
They're bottling. These are new beers that we've just started making. It's called the Barrel Room Collection. These are beers that take beer into the realm of wine. It comes in a 750-ml bottle. It has about 10% alcohol, and you eat it with a meal. You savor it. Do you want to taste it?
Do you really want to open a new bottle?
I can make more.
So this is the New World Triple.
Yes.
This is not a normal-looking bottle. It's oversized. Well, it's got a cork, which you don't really see in beer.
Well, it's not normal for you, sort of based on your expectations of beer. But we've been, you know, putting beer in bottles that you have to uncork for since 1993. Interesting, until these corks seat, they're very tight. I'll tell you what, let's see.
He's actually using his teeth.
Well, I'm going to, now the crown is really, I'm going to tear it off.
I thought you meant the crown on your tooth.
Oh, no, there's, wait. Do you know how to open wine bottles? Is this, am I doing it right? Okay.
Oh, it's light. I thought it was going to be dark because the bottle was dark.
I hate to be rude, but there's a lot of ignorance about color. Yeah, people think that a dark beer is strong.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you would probably be surprised if I asked you, which do you think has more alcohol, Guinness Stout or Miller Lite?
I'd probably say Guinness Stout.
Wrong.
Really?
It's like, you know, coffee. Darker coffee doesn't have more caffeine. It actually has less because it's roasted out of it.
I didn't know that.
So there is no correlation between color and strength.
This looks like the color of beer I usually like. I like wheat beers. a little more bitter edge than a wheat beer might have?
What you're getting is not bitter. You're getting actually acidity, sort of dry, tart. It's not highly bitter. Bitter will be at the back of your tongue and will linger for a long time. What you're getting is acidity, tartness. You want to taste Cosmic Mother Funk?
Cosmic Mother Funk?
Yes.
I've definitely never seen that brand of Sam Adams.
This is our barrel room. You'll see these big wood barrels were brought over from Italy. They were aging barrels for wine, so they're about 100 years old, but they were cleaned up and reassembled here by a bunch of Portuguese coopers.
Are you about to pour us some beer out of this big barrel?
Yeah.
This is a gigantic barrel.
This is the biggest barrel of beer you have ever seen in your life. It would be the equivalent of 268 kegs of beer. This is the Cosmic Mother Funk.
Little sour.
Yeah, yeah.
Tart.
It's exactly. Tart, sour, and...
Not vinegary, but it's heading in that direction.
Well, it has been vinegar. Essentially, what you're tasting is the product of kind of a tag team of microorganisms that begins with yeast that ferments sugar into alcohol. That alcohol is then attacked by acetic acid bacteria, which turn the alcohol into vinegar. And then in these wooden barrels, you get a long, slow micro-oxidation that turns the vinegar balsamic.
Why did you name it Cosmic Mother Funk?
Because we could. You know, we've sort of had beers that are in the realm of wine. Now we're going to take beer into a space between like a vintage port and a fine cognac.
And this is a bottle that I've never seen beer served in.
This is Samuel Adams Utopias, and the bottle is a replica of the copper kettles that you saw in the brew house. It's even got the doors.
Ooh.
And you open it, and there's Sam Adams.
Look at that. So this is Utopias.
Yes, this to me is the most extraordinary beer in the world. It is the strongest beer in human history. We make it every 2 years, and we do about 12,000 bottles of it, and we have to ration it. It sells for $150 a bottle, and we can't make enough of it. People buy it and scalp it on eBay.
It smells like brandy or a cognac, and the bottle looks like it's a brandy or a cognac.
Mm-hmm. And first smell it. Just let it fill your head.
It's intense.
Yeah. I love the smell of cognac. Mm. But then when you drink it, you get this fierce ethanol attack on your palate. In Utopias, you don't get that fiery burn. You get this sweet, smooth warming.
All right, let's test that. It definitely makes your mouth feel hot.
But you don't get assaulted with ethanol, which tends to happen in brandies and cognacs. But because this is never distilled, we have everything in here that the yeast created. Because this is never distilled, you don't boil away all of those wonderful fermentation esters. You get everything that the yeast gave us. That's the wonderfulness of the brewer's art. We have all these choices. We get to do anything that we can imagine.
Jim, thanks for the tour.
Cheers.
Ain't nothing like a brew on a hot sunny day. Tip back 12 ounces and I'm well on my way. Ain't nothing like a tall can when I need a sip. Pull it that back, crack it, and proceed to take a swig. Think I'm about to pull a cold one straight out the fridge. Chances are if it's a weekend.
And joining us now in the studio is Jim Cook himself. Jim, hi, and thanks for coming in.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
Listeners,
I don't have to do this without beer, do I?
Well, you have a lot of beers lined up in front of you, so I assume we're getting to that soon. Listeners, we have the founder of the Boston Beer Company in the studio. Sam Adams has been around for more than two decades now. Jim Cook founded this company in 1984, but it still has craft beer status, even though it's pretty well established nationally. We want to know if you consider Sam Adams a craft beer, if you now think of it as one of the Bigfoots in the beer market, and if you have questions for Jim Cook, we're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. More importantly, we're going to be talking about a microloan program that he started and that he makes available to people in the food and beverage industry. So, Jim, and our number, by the way, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Jim, one of the things that you and I talked about when I came to the brewery was that you have made it sort of your work's life mission to elevate beer from something that you get drunk on at a frat house to something that actually is associated with fine dining. Do you think that it's, how much do you think it's getting there? And do you ever think it can really all get all the way there?
It is moving there. When I started Sam Adams in 1984, everybody thought, you know, a beer dinner meant it was seven courses. It was a pizza and a six-pack. And today, you know, beer dinners are being done all over the U.S. In fact, most of the newer chefs are starting to work with beer. We've moved beyond this sort of, you know, the age of cordon bleu being the gold standard for cuisine, and American chefs are doing new interesting things with, you know, fusion cuisines, which are coming from, you know, not France and northern Italy, but, you know, Thailand, Ethiopia, Mexico, China, India, Guatemala, et cetera. And those are all tropical cuisines that go with beer, not wine. You can't pair wine with that.
And as you said to me when I toured your brewery, that wine itself, which is now thought of as being so sophisticated, went through a revolution. As you said, a wino was somebody that drank wine out of a paper bag.
Yeah, and when I came of legal drinking age in the late 60s, the number one selling wine in the United States was Thunderbird. And, you know, it was sold for 40 cents a bottle, and a wino was an alcoholic, derelict, homeless bum.
Jim, for people who don't know Boston Beer Company's history, can you give us the 30-second recap on how it came to be in 1984? To give us 30 seconds worth of the company's history.
Oh, sure. I come from six generations of brewmasters. I'm the sixth oldest son to be a brewmaster. I grew up outside of Ohio. I came here to Boston. The beer industry was consolidating. I didn't go into brewing. And then in 1984, I got a family recipe, started brewing it in my kitchen here in Boston. It was released as Sam Adams Boston Lager. Company was two people, and it helped revolutionize Americans' understanding of what quality beer is and create the idea that you can make world-class beer in the United States.
And to clarify, your family were not German brewmasters. They were domestic brewmasters here
in the United States for 150 years.
Jim, we already have a number of callers who want to talk to you. So before I ask you any more questions, let me go to some of the callers. And first,
sure.
We have Paul calling from Salem. And Paul, what's your question for Jim Cook, the founder of the Boston Beer Company, which makes Sam Adams?
Well, it's just about any health benefits of beer. I drink mostly wine because I enjoy wine, but also because red wine is supposed to have kind of a lot of health benefits for you. I really love dark beer. I love stouts. I had your chocolate Bock recently, and I loved it. But, you know, I don't really know if it's good for me. I just enjoy it.
Yeah, I think actually, and there is a lot of research being done right here at Boston University on the health benefits of beer. What you find is that the only, you know, really solid evidence revolves around the ethanol itself. So whether it's beer, wine, or spirits, that's the health benefits are in the ethanol. The other stuff, Ravasterol and in wine, xanthohumulones in beer, generally you'd have to ingest enormous quantities of those things, well beyond what you could ever get in a lifetime of drinking.
Jim Cook, we also have a caller from Providence, Rhode Island, and this is Adam. And Adam, what's your question for Jim Cook, the founder of Boston Beer Company?
I just want to know how often they make the Imperial Stout.
We make that on a year-round basis, so that should be available wherever you get, you know, quality beer. You're not going to necessarily get it at, you know, a convenience store, but where you get good beer, you should be able to find it.
Jim, I'm going to keep flying through some callers, and I want to note every caller shown up on my board is a man, so I want to have you weigh in later on why that may be. So the next caller is Gary calling from Bolton. And Gary, what's your question for Jim Cook?
My question, Jim, is there's an urban legend out there that everybody who's employed or gets employed at your beer company has to make their own, goes home with a brew kit and has to make their own beer, a six-pack of beer, everyone from custodian, secretaries. How true is that, or is that just legend?
No, that's basically true. Most of the people in the company are brewers, and we have a contest every year for the best beer from a Sam Adams person, and that beer gets released commercially. So, and in fact, this year, all of the finalists were women. And a woman named Caitlin DeClercq, who's a salesperson out in L.A., made this beautiful wheat beer with lavender and honey in it. And it's going to be released commercially in the spring with her picture on the bottle.
We also have a caller from Robert from Burlington. And Robert, what's your question for Jim Cook, the founder of the Boston Beer Company?
Well, I was just curious if he had any advice on matching flavors of beers with particular menus, you know, in terms of palate compatibility. So, you know, what
sure.
would go well with turkey or prime rib?
Well, the basic rules are the same as wine. You're looking for beers that either cut, complement, or contrast with the flavors in the food. Prime rib, Boston Lager. It's one of my favorite pairings. It's a big, mouth-filling beer that will stand up to a nice, juicy prime rib. They're both complex and very complimentary. For turkey, that one, because the Thanksgiving feast has so many different flavors, one of my favorites is a beer we just make for this season. It's called Cranberry Lambic. It uses Massachusetts cranberries, and then it has a different sort of yeast in it that gives it a little bit of clove and a little bit of fruitiness to it.
Callers, we're talking to Jim Cook, the founder of Boston Beer Company. If you want to talk to him, he's at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And Jim Cook, David from Arlington has a question for you. David, what's your question for Jim Cook of the Boston Beer Company?
Hi, Jim. Thank you. I grew up in Dunkirk, New York, which is in western New York, and there was a Cook's Brewery.
Yes. You know,
the same way as your last name. So I have two questions. One is, are you related? And since Ohio's not too far from western New York. And secondly, competition is an issue here, but why did these local regional breweries, which flourished for so long, why did they all bite the dust?
Well, the first question, yes, that is distant relatives of mine. There was a distant branch of the family that settled in Niagara Falls in that part of New York. And the second question, why'd all the little regional local breweries bite the dust? Basically, the economies of scale, of mass production, and mass marketing. And TV played a big role in that. Once you had to be on TV to sell your beer, that was kind of the death knell of the hundreds and hundreds of little breweries that actually existed. When my dad got out of brewmaster school in 1948, there were 800 breweries in the U.S. And when I started Sam Adams in 1984, of those 800, only about 35 still survived.
Jim Cook, we also have Jack from Plimpton who has a question for you. Jack, what's your question for Jim Cook, who's the founder of Boston Beer Company, which is right in Jamaica Plain and brews Sam Adams beer?
Hey, Jim, first of all, I got to tell you that light beer that you make is the best in the world. I was a Miller Lite guy for years, but I couldn't believe the difference in the taste in that beer.
No wonder you sound so intelligent.
Right, see? Yeah. You know, the Irish, you know, the Irish seven-course meal, the six-pack and a bash. But the other question I have, we go to Ireland quite a bit, and they always tout the effectiveness of Guinness over there, the health benefits of it, which I think are mostly a wives' tale. But maybe somebody already caught you on the, you know, asking you about the health benefits of the malts and stuff like that. But
you know, I haven't seen a lot of scientific evidence, frankly. But to me, I always feel good drinking beer, knowing that I'm having a whole grain beverage that, well, like Sam Adams, Boston Lager has four things in it: water, yeast, malt, and hops. It is completely all natural. We use the whole ingredient. You get some soluble fiber. You get complex carbohydrates. So To me, it's a health food, but I don't think we're ever going to be on TV about that.
Jim Cook of Boston Beer, after all that, all those men calling, we finally have some women who want to talk to you. So I'm going to go to Nancy from Jamaica Plain, right where your brewery is. And Nancy, what's your question for Jim Cook of Boston Beer, which makes Sam Adams?
Hello, neighbor.
Hi, neighbor.
First of all, many thanks for the best beer in America. And secondly, you know, when my European friends come here, I can proudly crack open a lager and say, you know, no, we have some good beers in the States. But when are you going to expand over there? I see you across the states in Utah and Wyoming, but I've never seen you abroad yet. So that's my question. Thanks.
Oh, it's a good question. And we do have Sam Adams in about 20 countries outside the U.S. To me, it's a matter of pride to take Sam Adams to, you know, countries that have outstanding brewing traditions like Germany, like England, like Canada, like Belgium, for exactly the point that you just made, to show people in other countries that today some of the best beers in the world are made here in the United States. And 10 years ago, we started entering Sam Adams in brewing competitions around the world. And in the last 10 years, Sam Adams has won more international awards for brewing quality than any other beer on the planet. So we're doing it in a small way.
Jim Cook, I want to make sure we talk about your microloan program before we have to go. And this is a program you started about 2 years ago. It's microloans for food, beverage, hospitality, small entrepreneurs. Tell us about
here
this.
In New England.
Why are you doing this? You know, you're helping them with credit issues, with financial workshops, how to manage their credit. Tell us what this program is supposed to do.
Yeah, it came out of my experience, you know, starting Sam Adams in my kitchen, and I realized that there are some great businesses out there and some really passionate entrepreneurs who can, you know, provide really great products and jobs and employment, and particularly in this economy, it's, you know, the big companies are not providing the jobs. The small businesses are really the growth engine for jobs. So this was a way of leveraging, you know, who we are, our background, to reach out to people in a business that we sort of know, food and beverage.
So, Jim, you actually give loans as well as offer how to manage your credit, how to manage your cash flow. You do English and Spanish.
We do speed coaching events.
Financial literacy.
Mentoring.
How large are the loans?
The loans are microloans. The biggest we've ever made is $17,000, and the smallest is $500. We've made over 50 loans, and I would emphasize these are, you know, I'm a business, and we want to help businesses that are going to succeed. It's a philanthropic program. It's not. It's a nonprofit program.
So and you don't. You or your company don't benefit from it.
No. We. You know. It's a philanthropic thing. We give money into the program, but we want to find businesses that will succeed and create jobs and pay the loan back, so that we can then recycle it.
So even though these are relatively small loans for the business world, these are companies small enough that that kind of money makes a difference?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a big funding gap, because if you need a $3,000 loan or a $10,000 loan, banks aren't lending to that size of business. Even the Small Business Administration now has capped their loan. You have to be at least $15,000. So there's a big gap.
So you're trying to fill that gap. We have to go. 5-second question, if you can answer it. We have a caller who wants to know your favorite local bar, if you're willing to say.
Oh, well, I got to go to Doyle's. It's right near the brewery. It's a staggering distance.
A Boston legend.
Yes.
Jim Cook, the founder of the Boston Beer Company, which makes Sam Adams beer, thank you for coming into the studio, and thank you for the tour that you gave me.
Oh, it was a pleasure drinking with you then, and it's a pleasure drinking with you today.
You're drinking, not me. I don't drink when I'm on the job. Jim Cook, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.